Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Prior median. So that quack race, what page was that on? 18. Oh, it'll be a parrot. Anybody that tells me anything, I turn right to that page and whether I find it or not. Now you have two sets of figures that you'll notice. In our first follow-up article on deceleration pars, we only put in the deceleration pars. If you just look at the deceleration pars side, you are liable to bet slow horses, because who has the least deceleration? The horse that has the least velocity. If he runs a 24 first fraction and a 25 second fraction, he's a slow horse, but he's got least deceleration. So you have to weigh the deceleration against the velocity pars. Now, in some of the races you do, where they're all hot contenders, and this is no problem. But the nitty-gritty is on page 24, and I want to explain one thing to you there before we leave it. When you see 0.958 under EPP, and you see 1.017 under norm, the pace of the race was 0.958. The numbers below that are the percentage relationship of each horse to the pace of the race. In other words, his number is not 1.017. His percentage relationship to the dream race is in excess, so that it becomes over 1. So those are not their numbers. Those are their percentage relationships to the pace on the top line. On the left-hand side, dream race velocity pars, if you put in external pars that you got from your par maker or from some other source, then it would not be dream race. It would be the dream race you created from pars. What it's saying is that Smokey, that 1,000 or 1.000, is equal to the first fraction par or dream race. Is 0.997 of the second fraction, 0.979 of the third, and he's equal to the second call. So that's the only question I think you might have. Is that their number or is that their relationship? And that's their relationship. If you peruse through this, and there's no sense of me going through it with you because it's all here. I've taken the... we had two reasons for putting the results charts in the Breeders' Cup. We're going to do some Breeders' Cup races later on in the day. Not because the Breeders' Cup is something you must covet to win. You can't make a living on the Breeders' Cup, but it's something that everybody's familiar with because you probably all watched it or went. So we're using those as a focal point only because they're familiar races. But if you'll notice that what the deceleration pars do on the various races of the Breeders' Cup day, I put in the pace of the race from the results charts and the pace of the winning horse in each race from the results charts. Look what it shows you in the sprint, for instance. The dream race total energy of the Sheik Ali, or whatever his name was, and the dream race of the pace of the race were virtually the same. The median energy of the pace of the race was higher than Sheik's. When you get down to the pars, look how much Sheik exceeded the pace of the race. Now, if he'd had this on the first program, you thought this was the trend for the day, you would have not gone through what all those announcers did. Oh my goodness, they're all coming from off the pace, huh? The problem with par times that are used in contemporary handicapping is that they are pace of race pars. Does anybody not realize that? That when you buy a par time chart, or when you see someone's par time chart, It represents the pace of the race, which is the horses that broke the camera lens at each call. It is not the pace of the winning horse unless the winner went wire to wire. The reason the current fad of all your mainstream experts is so heavily weighted toward early is that pace of race pars are early, because they represent the pace of the race, not the pace of the winning horse. So if they show you a pace of the race par from Del Mar and shows the track is running early, and we know that the winners are coming from off the pace, they're going to be betting the wrong horse, and as they frequently do. By looking at these pages from 28 on through the other, well, the entire Breeders' Cup day, you will see a great distinction between the pace of winning horses and how they exert their energy and the pace of the race. So I would urge you, when you are using and making use of this program, that you do not enter pace of race pars. Whatever you do, whether you use the dream race or whether you take them off results charts, enter the results of the winning horse with the lengths beaten and gained, and you will be far ahead of the game. Otherwise, you're going to perceive every track you play as being far more early than it truly is. Any questions? Billy Robinson, you up? Marion Jones and Bruce Jorgensen are now going to take us through an exercise. And don't worry about it, Billy. It's something you're very conversant with. And they will come up and sit up here and take turns. Is Marion here? Marion Jones? Something like him, not to be. Well, we'll let the ones that are here start. The subject of this presentation is, and we're going to start with a race that Jenny Butler sent us. The subject of this presentation is the difficult track. Oh, my track is, you guys, your track is easy, but my track is hard. A very famous psychiatrist once told me when I was training, said, when you get your doctorate, when you turn professional, you're going to go to a lot of medical conventions, a lot of psychiatric conventions. And you'll find that the doctors all play two different games. The first game is called old school tie, which means that my school had higher academic standards than yours. And the other one is, but my patients are all sicker than yours. In other words, if you say, I cured somebody, well, yeah, you could cure them because your patients were easy. But mine are really sick. And when I went to that thing with the psychiatrist thing with they're doing with the gamblers and everything, and I did my little presentation, they said, well, yeah, but those people aren't really sick. Our people are sick. So what you've got here is the same syndrome in this, probably exists in this room, where if you can't win at your track, you say, yeah, but my track's tough. And this is something that permeates the mind of even the most brilliant of people. I mean, I'm talking about people like Andrew Beyer, who says in the newspaper, he fled Del Mar one year, and he used the term fled. It was in the papers because I couldn't get a handle on this track. Or he fled, we saw him flee Saratoga once, literally. Ran out, disgusted, throwing things right and left, because he couldn't get it. Okay, I think this is inexcusable for a recognized expert who takes money for teaching and buying books to say, I throw up my hands, I can't whip this track. Probably the most difficult tracks that we have heard of. Now that everybody has solved the problems on the East Coast, everybody on the East Coast is now, they don't claim they have a tough track. But probably the ones we get, anybody has a tough track, raise their hand. But Long Acres, oh, you haven't got it. Where are you playing now? Timonium? If you're talking about Bay Meadows and Golden Gate, Hey, anybody that thinks Golden Gate and Bay Meadows is tough, talk to the doctor back there. But the ones we get the most trouble from are Long Acres and the Pacific Northwest in general, Playfair and Yakima, and Del Mar of all places, the greatest playground in the summer. And if you want us to throw in Bay Meadows and Golden Gate, for you we'll do it. Although I would trade my whatever to go up to Santa Barbara and Ventura and play that as opposed to the Southern California tracks because of the mutual. So without further ado, and we'll take this one race that Jenny gave us, which is on page what?
70.
Okay. The myth of the difficult track. Jenny Butler couldn't make it, but they're bringing Bruce Jorgensen, Billy Robinson, who conquered Del Mar, and looked at, with askance at all the experts who said it was difficult. Bruce will take it. Billy will come up, and when Marion Jones, I find him, I'll send him up. And Marion will also talk about the myth of turf races being hard to beat. So what we're concentrating on now for the next 40 minutes will be the absolute myth that some of you develop in your minds that certain tracks are difficult, not beatable. The reason they are difficult for you is that you let that come into your mind. My suggestion would be that you cover up the name of the track when you handicap. But that doesn't seem to work. So, Bruce, you want to start it off?
And absolutely. Hey, Howard says that this is a... Long Acres is not a tough track at all. You got to know Long Acres, but it's not a tough track. And this race is an absolute piece of cake. Now, I would like nobody to, if you would not, we're on page 70. And if you would please not go forward to the results, because we want to talk about the race for a little while before we even bother with the computer, okay? Now, I'll set a little bit of tone for Long Acres. Long Acres, they say, why he was saying the tough track is they're talking about weather. Well, yeah, we have weather, and you got weather every place. But this, and we used to have an awful lot of difference in our variance at Long Acres. Well, the old family that owned Long Acres since sometime before the First World War, I guess, it's gone through three generations, they sold the Long Acres property, sold it to Boeing's, and it's going to be torn down. And in the meantime, it's being kept open for a couple of years by a horseman's association, They were of a different nationality, and it was okay with them to spend some money on the track. I guess I'll say it that way. And the first things they did is they put 7 inches of sand on that dude. And we don't have any difference in variance now, whether it's wet or whether it's dry or whatever. There's a 5-point swing on our variance. You know, hey, it's an absolute. The track now is an absolute Swiss watch as far as the way the track runs the surface. So the surface is not tough. Next thing before we get into this race is a $5,000 race, if you'll notice. Well, that's not quite the bottom of the bucket at Long Acres. $4,000 is the bottom of the bucket. But I kind of think $5,000 is maybe the bottom of the bucket, and I'll tell you why. They have a little rule up there on the $4,000 horses, the horses that are running at $4,000, and I've seen it, but I don't remember what all the rule says, but a horse has to do within four races or some such thing, has to do a certain level of performance as far as the races it's ran, or it can't run at Long Acres anymore. And so that means all these people that got their favorite little pet, and it costs you money to have a horse running, they like to see their pet run, and they don't want to drop it to $4,000, and the trainer doesn't want to drop it to $4,000 because it gets kicked off the track, and then he doesn't get his $50 a day barn fee. And so $5,000 is probably the bottom of the bucket, or very, very close. You follow my reasoning on that? Why I say Five is probably bottom. Okay, so this is the bottom of the bucket. We, like all tracks, you get an awful lot of races at the bottom of the bucket. This is a very cheap race, and these are cheap horses. And it's ran in September. Beautiful weather. I assume this day was a good day. I played this race. I played it in the book, so I wasn't outside. I don't know what kind of day it was. It didn't make any difference. Why September? There's a couple of remarks that we'll catch on one of the horses, which September will have a bearing on as we go along. Okay, bear with me, and let's just kind of do this race right here from the horses we see in the way that I would attack this race. First thing, take your pen. If you got a red one or a colored one, it always shows up better. And go down through every horse, just real quick. And every time he's got a win, just underline that pace line. And make it a win at Long Acres. Make it a win at the sprint. This is a sprint today. Anytime he's got a sprint win at Long Acres, just underline it. Shouldn't take you probably more than, just a matter of seconds to go through these horses that are here. Getting over on the second page. Those that aren't on the second page yet, you got to handicap quicker than this if you're going to do races between races. Okay, we got that. Now, does anybody see any back-to-back wins on any of these horses?
Nope.
You doggone right, sir, aren't. And that's the way the bottom of the bucket runs, guys. At least that's the way it runs at my track.
Or you can throw Patapelli out?
I'm not going to do that yet. I'm not going to say that. I'm just making a comment, okay? Yeah, we're going to throw him out later. But you all see that? You see any back-to-back wins? Now, I don't know how your track is at bottom of the bucket, but that's the way my track is at bottom of the bucket. And I know an awful lot about my track. I make my horse handicapping an awful lot of it knowing about my track. I said that in the little introduction the other day, and I really believe in that. Okay, don't see any back-to-back wins. Okay, now, let's ESP these horses. And Gary gave some good definitions for ESP. Mine are a little bit different. Yours are probably a little bit different. And if you're going to change to his, that's great. But for the sake of being quick, we'll just use your own current definition of ESP on these horses. Because, you know, the definition of ESP, how exactly you define them, I don't think makes any difference as long as you know what yours is and you are absolutely always consistent in your definition on your horses. Okay? And for the sake of this one, I'll kind of be the final authority. And we'll just all and put down whatever remark you want on yours, but let's just start from the top. You look at Jetaway Dave, and Jetaway Dave, I'm going to call Jetaway Dave a sustained presser. I don't know what you people are going to call him. Another thing you notice when you underline where the before you ESP, the winning line that a horse has, I know it does it for me. It makes it an awful lot quicker and easier for me to get a handle on what kind of a ESP that horse has. It just kind of draws me a little more to it. Jacaro. Jacaro is a pretty tight presser, isn't he? Sanford and Sons, he's another very tight presser, isn't he? Very up-close presser. Win the Gold, I got to put an E in front of that guy. Everybody agree with that? Papatelli gets an E, okay? Everybody agree with that? Bored Easy. He's got a mixed bag, but I think I'm going to call him an E. When you look at the results sheet, he ain't scratched. All right, this is Jenny's thing that she... Hey, don't turn to the revolt seat. Don't do it. This is Jenny sent in, and why she's got this marked up like that, I don't know. I'd call him an easy. I mean, early. There comes my army talkie. Okay, Northwest, he's an off-the-pace horse, isn't he? Sustained horse and Cool Trip. He's a sustained horse, isn't he? Okay, now let's just take your eyeballs back from the page and just kind of glance at all those ESPs. How's the race going to run? Baloney. This is the bottom of the bucket, cheap horses, and look how close those pressers are. How's this race going to run? You damn right. So there's absolutely no question this race is going to run sustained. Look at there. You've got 1, 2, 3 early horses showing, and you've got a couple of tight pressers. And these are not horses with any class. You know, that's one of the things of class. A class horse can hold its speed. He can run hook. By the way, take a look you don't even see any of the early horses there where they do anything when they're hooked. The only one you win the gold back a ways ran a good race when he was hooked. And an awful lot of these times where you see the horse was hooked, where you see a headed, they weren't even really headed. They were, another horse was just passing them at the call, or they were passing another horse. These cheap guys. Doesn't everybody kind of agree the race is going to set up for a sustained bias? Anybody that does not agree that this race sets up for a sustained bias? Yes?
You talk about the conclusion of the race, not the second call.
That's right. I'm talking about how the total race is going to run. Okay. Doesn't it set up for a sustained bias? There's an awful lot of upfront in this race. And it's got to be... Hey, and we went through the definition of $5,000 horses. So isn't it cheap early that's going to be busting up on each other? Okay, we have kind of set the tone for the race. Now, we can go through contender selection, and we can throw a lot of horses in there, and I'm not going to take the time we all go through and put in horses. We're going to go to Jenny's figures. You can kind of see by the lines set on the page what horses Jenny originally put into the computer. You know, just take a glance at those. And then we'll turn the page. Now we get to where she's gone into the computer. And we see five horses, which I have to assume a couple horses she scratched off because she had lines on them and they were not, then they don't show here in this printout. So she probably eliminated a couple of them. And we have our entry block for the horses, and then we have our first little energy readout from the energy generator from the engine. Now, I keep such a tight profile at Long Acres, the race is all, for me, is absolutely done right now. Now, it wouldn't be for you people, but I know where the bet is right now because of my profile. And this is about knowing your track. I profile hidden energy and factor X. That's the only two things I profile at Long Acres. Now, let's take a look at those two factors on the kinetic